Good evening.
Good evening.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Mrs. Whitaker, I apologize. I understood they sang to you last week and I was not here. She, unfortunately, her birthday is a day after my mother's and a day before my brother's. So I will probably never forget hers. So, Mr. Donahue, you got to quit confusing us by playing songs as they're written, okay? We had no idea what you were doing on number 4 until you were on the second stanza. At least I wasn't. Mr. Hopper, great prayer. Truth. Buy it, do not sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Man, truth is something that's infinitely important. I appreciate that prayer. I work in an industry, as most of you know, I work for an underground coal mine, and 99% of what you read here about in relations to coal and energy is false. Just know that right now, most of it's a lie. Buy truth and do not sell it. Everything that you have either has to be grown or mined. It doesn't come from anywhere else. You can have all this wind power you want, but whatever it takes to make that material to have wind generation had to be grown or mined. And in that case, it all had to be mined. Steel just doesn't come from old recycled cars. I'll stop there. It was mined once upon a time. So don't believe the garbage and the lies that are perpetrated to you on every front. Almost everything that you're told from a media standpoint is probably mostly false. If you approach it with that perspective, you're on the way to truth. Possibly. Yeah, I had to say that. My wife has instructed me on two things. Number one, to remind you, there's a baby shower for Zephaniah Witherall at their residence at 2 o'clock on Saturday the 21st. Which is at 325 Wicks Lane. Yes, for some of you, that is in the Heights. I know how much you guys all love the Heights. That's where it is. Praise the Lord. And the second thing she reminded me of is my mother-in-law is listening. She reminded me several times to say hi to her. So I'm going to do it in the form of sending them a greeting to you all. Every time that I speak to them, especially my father-in-law, he expresses how much he desires to be with us when he's here and misses all of you. They send their love and their prayers. Okay, and one last thing, and then I'll get started. The President of the United States once a year gives a State of the Union address. About this time of year, I have to give a State of my sprinkler system address. As many of you know, I have struggled mightily with that over the past several years. And it took about 45 minutes today. That is by far a record. Usually it's measured in days, not minutes. So, praise the Lord. It was an exciting day for me. Okay, let's get started. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Man, I feel I would rob you guys if I didn't tell you that information. I was elated. It was unbelievable. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Continuing to study through the book of 1 Timothy. Starting in verse 11. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourselves an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance, with the laying of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Please pray with me. Our great Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you humbly tonight as your servants. Lord, we are so thankful that you have extended the opportunity to us to be adopted as sons, to be brought into your kingdom. to be made one with you. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me as I bring a message tonight from your scriptures, Lord, that will encourage and strengthen your body here in Billings to accomplish the purpose that it's been given in this time, in this place. Lord, I thank you for Christ Jesus, our King. We are gathered tonight in his remembrance. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The title of my message tonight is Prescribe and Teach These Things, from verse 11 there. But in order for us to understand that, we have to roll back a little bit. So let's begin reading in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Godliness is profitable. I like this word. You know, Mr. Simpson states a lot that the world steals stuff from God. Prescribe. We live in an era and a time where everyone's on a prescription. God has a prescription, doesn't he? I'll sum it up in one word that he uses here. Godliness. Godliness. That is the prescription that God has given man that will ultimately produce righteousness. You know, we had some in the assembly this morning, there was some conversation about God working from the inside out. That's how God cleanses us. That's how God works on us to perfect us, is from the inside out. The prescription is godliness, and to receive His Word implanted, from James chapter 1. Godliness, that is God's prescription. This is a trustworthy statement. Man, if we want to have something that is going to enhance our well-being for eternity, the prescription is godliness. You want to look for the ultimate supplement. It's the Word of God. Take that thing in. Ingest it. The Apostle Paul here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, instructs Timothy here. He says, prescribe and teach these things. You know, the doctor's orders from Dr. Timothy, you know. Man, take godliness. Take these things inside. I like how he said that too. Prescribe and teach these things. See, there was a responsibility that came with that. And that was for Timothy to instruct people how to do this. You know, when you go to the pharmacy and pick up your prescription, you get your little consultation, and they tell you all the bad stuff that can happen to you if you take this thing wrong. Okay? Prescribe and teach these things. We got a responsibility from the Scripture to teach people how to do it. We got a responsibility to instruct them how to do it. How to take this godliness on. How to make it part of them. I think this is a great thing. The literal there, for where it says prescribe and teach, is keep commanding and teaching. Prescribe and teach. Verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. This is an interesting verse. There's a guy that I used to have some contact with in Wisconsin, and we got to be pretty good friends and talk through some things. And once upon a time, he called me a young Timothy. And I'll never, you know, it's something that registered. And then I realized that I'm probably not quite there. Mr. Goal, I was standing next to Mr. Wilson. Mr. Goal came up and he commented on the gray in our goatee. And I realized maybe the youthfulness isn't quite there as it once was. But that's not as bad as the shot I got at camp last year. I was working with some of the kids. We were doing some stuff with automobiles. And Otta from Africa was there, and they were talking about how old he was. And they guessed his age, and so I thought I'd throw in. You know, I'm used to getting guessed pretty young. So I said, how old do you think I am? And the oldest boy, Alan, 17 years old, says, oh, 50? Ouch. So maybe I don't fit this category, verse 12 here in 1 Timothy 4. Man, I'm telling you what, I looked in the mirror long and hard after that. Man, I'm like, I just don't see 50 there, you know? I've seen 50 before, but not here. But, man, it's one of the great things about Christianity, man. It doesn't matter your age, does it? It doesn't. And I mean that in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. You know, we got some young Christians here that are working hard for the Lord. That, man, they have stepped out there and broadcasted some things. And it doesn't require you to be an old, mature Christian, does it? Man, get out there and go. It's an exciting thing for me. Be bold. See, Timothy here, he's told to not let anybody look down on his youthfulness. And the reasons given is after that, and that's because of the example that he has. He's instructed to have a certain example. That example is what gives him credibility, regardless of whether there's any gray in his beard or not. It's an exciting thing about Christianity. The truth is the truth. Tied in with Mr. Hopper's prayer. It doesn't matter who's saying it, how young or old they are. There's a game that I believe is an equalizer. It's called the game of golf. And if you're a golfer, you can talk a great game. Okay? There's some golfers in the room that understand or have played golf before. It's easy to talk about the perfect golf swing. It's easy to talk about the mechanics of it and following through. And man, when you hit that one and it hooks or slices, it's been a while since I played hook, I think the right slice, right? See, there you go. See how good this works? Slice and hook. You know, you can talk about it while your hips came through, your club faces, all these things. You can talk about all those things. So if I'm taking someone out and I'm going to show them how to hit golf balls, and I can't hit one of them straight, you think they're going to come back to me for lesson number two? No way. That example is important. We got to be able to walk the talk before we can talk the walk. That's what Timothy is encouraged to do here. And again, youthfulness has nothing to do with that. Verse 13. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. In case any of you guys wonder why we read Scripture publicly on Lord's Day morning, after the breaking of bread and before the message, here's why. Scripture says, pay attention to the public reading. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Now, in case any of you want to fall asleep right after that, it says to exhortation and teaching also you're supposed to give attention to. So it's not just the public reading of Scripture. Why do you guys think public reading of Scripture is important? I'll give you my 2 cents worth. You hear it up front and you read it. It goes into at least 2 of your senses instead of just reading it. It goes in the eye gate and the ear gate. Okay, I didn't say ear gate, in case you missed that. It was the ear gate. Okay? That's how it goes in. Pay attention to the public reading of Scripture. When this was written, not everybody had copies of the Scripture like we have today. But I think it's still a good thing. Man, we are placing a special emphasis on God's Word publicly proclaimed. I think that's important. Give attention to it. Pay attention to that exhortation and teaching too. A lot of times we read this verse and we talk about public reading, but we don't talk about exhortation and teaching much that comes along with it. That's important, guys. I can tell you that the class on Lord's Day morning is one of the highlights of my week because there is just some awesome stuff we're going through right now. And you can see God's plan hundreds of years before some of it was even brought into existence. You can see those details so clear from that Scripture. Man, that's exciting stuff. We can learn great things from it. There was an undergarment. I don't even know if they still make it. They advertised it pretty heavily when I was a child, but it was have your BVDs on, okay? Well, we don't need to have our, well, we should have some form of those on, but That's another story. What we should have on is our BCVs, our book, chapter, and verses, man. We got to know this stuff. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Man, we need to have that on. God wrote it for a reason. It's for you and me, so that we can be transformed into the character of Christ and we can help others also. That's what it's there for. Okay. I'm going to try and get through 15 and 16 also here. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14 talks about a spiritual gift that was given to Timothy, bestowed through prophetic utterance by laying the hands of the presbytery. I'm not going to go into that tonight. And I'll tell you why briefly. There's a couple different ways that this verse is, that I've heard interpretations of it. I can't nail 100% those down by the Scripture, and I'm not going to come forward and bring up what I believe is my opinion on those. If you have a question about it, you can ask me about it afterwards. I'll share my opinion with it. But I think it's one of those things that the Scripture isn't 100% crystal clear on exactly what that means. And some of that maybe I haven't fully exhausted that. Verse 15, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Man, can you hear him urging Timothy in that verse? Take pains. Be absorbed in them. And guess what? Your progress is going to be evident to all. We have fun here sometimes in what we do. I really do. Man, there's a connection in Christ Jesus, and there's some genuine affection and friendship and things like that. We got to be careful to make sure that that's not just about the friendship side of this thing. This is serious business, man. It is. I mean, it's great to be able to accomplish this work and work alongside each other and enjoy each other and love one another. Those things are all part of it. But that's not what it's about. Those are fruits of it, but it's not what it's about. Man, we need to take pains in this. We need to be absorbed in this. No? It needs to be everything to us. Heard it said, and I love the saying, if it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter now. That's a challenging statement, isn't it? Tuesday afternoon, you're at work, the top is blown off, things are going crazy all around you. A little tough sometimes to keep that perspective, isn't it? That if it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter now. We got to keep that thing where it needs to be. We need to be absorbed in this. Mr. Schaefer has a great saying that we need to make God our first resource rather than our last resort. Little things get burned in our minds. Man, that's important, isn't it? God first. Be absorbed. Take great pains. You know, it's serious. The good news is, if we're serious about it, the progress is going to be evident for all to see. You're going to make strides. You're going to have victory in the flesh. You're going to overcome some of those things. Got to do the work. Thing that we talked about a little bit in class this morning, I know there's more coming next week on it. Man, we have participation in this gospel, in our lives and in building the kingdom in other people's lives. We have participation in those things. We got to be serious about it. Okay, I'm gonna get through verse 16. I was gonna throw another scripture there, 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, we're to study to show ourselves approved, workmen handling accurately the word of truth. That was quick. If you want to check it out, 2 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. I remember when Mr. Dunbar, they sit next to each other to confuse me. Mr. Dunbar was at my house, man, and he showed me this verse. He was excited about it. Man, we get to preach ourselves into heaven. That's what this verse says. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And the more we help others, the more we help ourselves. That's what it says. The more you help others, the more you help yourself. Man, get involved. Just do what you got to do. And if you get the chance, be diligent in what you're doing. Take the time and study it out. Do your prep work. Do your homework. If you're not sure on something, ask somebody. You don't know that what you got isn't the one shot you're going to get with that person. Man, do your homework. Be prepared. Again, a little bit serious there. But boy, you do. And you're going to preach yourself into heaven. I'm telling you right now. I've heard people talk about it, and I've had it said to me too. I've had people say, I want your faith. They can't have my faith. I'll help them get their own. But they can't have my faith. Because I sweated for that faith. I've shed tears for that faith. I've struggled for it. I've defended it. That's how you get that faith. It's by digging in and doing the work. Let's talk about teaching that golf swing. It's easy to think you understand something. Go teach somebody. You'll understand it when you're done teaching them. That's why I don't teach golf swings. I know how much I don't know. This is God's insurance policy right here, isn't it? So it says, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Preaching yourself into heaven. Mr. Simpson, this is for you, okay? Be a good neighbor, you'll make it there. God's insurance policy, isn't it? It's weak, I know, but hey, maybe it'll stick in your head. But really, that's what this is, God's insurance policy. God says if you want to make it to heaven, you help others get there. You help them get there. You know, we talk about how the church is a building that is being built for God, and it's by living stones that are placed just as the Spirit desires in that house. You know what? That stone gets placed in there. Those stones around it support that stone, don't they? Together they make that structure. Is that a scriptural promise? Is that scriptural? Yeah, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear your own load, Scripture says. Those stones work together to do that. Guess what? Sometimes we get to help our brothers, don't we? It's good stuff. When you do that, you're helping yourself. You help those that are outside of Christ come into Christ. You're helping yourself. Preaching yourself into heaven. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3. I'm going to close here. First Peter 3, and we're going to read 15 and 16. Let sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That word sanctify means set apart. It's literal. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. I think this is a fairly good summation of what I tried to bring out from 1 Timothy 4 tonight. Man, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Set Him apart. Godliness. That's a prescription for us and for those that we're trying to help. We need to pay attention to that Scripture when it's instructing us on who we are so we can see those things and realize those things. You know, that Scripture talks about examining ourselves. Man, we get the opportunity to do that in an environment where we can draw near to the throne of grace for mercy and help in a time of need. That's an exciting thing. And it's for our growth so we can overcome those things. We talked a little bit about getting to help others. Man, that's important stuff. Man, we got to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. And we got to have our BCVs on so that we can be ready to give a defense. To make a defense, to give an account for the hope that's within us. Yet with gentleness and reverence. Man, this isn't about blowing people away about how smart we are. This morning, Mr. Wilson didn't touch on it too much, but he was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Doesn't mean you throw knowledge out the window. It means that you have a purpose behind it. And if you love people and care about their soul, that's how you'll approach it with them. It's important stuff. We have a mission. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. It's actually what we used to do.
Can you stand with me, please? On Lord's Day evening, back before all of us got long-winded, we used to close with "Let's Get All Excited." There's probably some of you in this room that may not even ever have heard that before. So, let's get all excited and tell everybody that.